The book of First Songs. Samson. Samuel. Y'all, I'm twisted this morning. First Samuel, chapter 30. That is a text that claims our attention this morning for this sanctuary service, this Jackson Family and Friends Day, this Chapman Grove Day, this Sunday morning. 1 Samuel chapter 30. I'm going to begin reading at verse number 1. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Beginning at verse number 1. Word of the Lord reads on this wise. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, neither great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. For those who are sharing with us for the first time, sometime or any time, we in this season are dealing with Christian consistency, that we should always be the same. The last 15, 16 weeks or so, we've been talking about consistent living. And so today, I want to talk about when your back is against the wall. Talking about a rock and a hard place. Yeah, many struggle with living a consistent Christian life when things are going well. Those who struggle in the good times near about fall apart in the bad times. Because in our good times, we tend to be lax about spending time with God, studying his word, even offering service to him by being in fellowship with his people on a regular basis. We simply don't need him right now. Mm-hmm. May I suggest to you that in your good days, when you are consistent in prayer,
yes,
when you're consistent in
the word of God. You're consistent in fellowship. You gain the strength you need for your bad days.
That's right.
What do you do when your back is against the wall? What do you do when loss seems to be the order of the day? What do you do when the present place in your story doesn't seem to favor you? What's your story? What do you do when you don't know and you can't see and you don't understand? What do you do when it seems like it's all over? I saw a trailer because somebody was talking about, saw the trailer of I Am Legend 2, Family. I was kind of intrigued by this because this is a sequel to the original I Am Legend. Well, Will Smith, who is Dr. Robin, is the star of the show. And in the last scene of the first movie, the star, Dr. Robin, Will Smith dies. But there is a sequel coming out, y'all, and the folks that saw the first one seem to be having issues trying to understand how is it that you're going to have another movie with the same star, the same character that died in the last scene of the first movie. Somebody seen the movie back here. I was intrigued by that, the last line in the trailer. Y'all ought to go look at the trailer if you don't see nothing else. The voiceover says, "We're family. Your job, get home at the end of the night." We were in celebration last night, and Jamarcus got up to speak for his parents. And first thing he said out of his mouth, "I wonder what Uncle Jackie or Granddaddy would say to you if they were here." Can I say, Jamarcus, that's exactly what Uncle Jackie and Granddaddy would say. We're family. Amen. Your job, get home at the end of the night. Look, y'all, home is literal and it's figurative at the same time. When they were down here, home was 620 4th Avenue East. Still is for me right now. And whatever you needed to do, find your way there.
My God.
Literal. Yeah. But as I'm hearing them speaking today, do you really want to hear what they say?
Yeah.
Home is where Jesus is.
My God. Yeah.
It's where they are. Home is heaven. And you need to do whatever it takes to get there.
Yeah, come on, man.
I'm through preaching right there. Yeah. You better do whatever it takes for you to get from here to get up there. Uh-huh. Home. In our text, there was a problem when David gets home. Uh-huh. It's right there. I'm in verse number one. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites, what'd they do?
Invaded the south.
Uh-huh. And Ziklag. My eyes are sweating again. And smitten Ziklag. Uh-huh. And burned it with fire. Uh-huh. I said there was a problem when David got home.
Right.
Yeah, that's what it is. And so I'm trying to help us understand how it is that when we have to deal with these hard places, the trapped places, the stuck places, sometimes you have to sit with your perplexities. You got to sit right there. Yeah, you cannot be in denial. You got to own your pain. You got to own your struggle. You got to own your issues. Yes, life is hard. But can we keep it real? You out there bleeding on people that didn't cut you.
My God.
Woo, glory to God. You better feel what you feel. Yeah, your problems are just passengers in your car. Don't let them drive. Your problems, you can't get rid of them. They're with you.
Right.
But don't let them drive you.
Yeah.
They just along for the ride. They are part of your story. David is in a tight spot. Two wives gone. All his men, they want to take him out because their wives and their children are gone.
Right.
Can you imagine what's going through the mind of David? Can you imagine what's going through the mind of his wives who don't know whether they want to even make it back home? They had to sit with their perplexities. They have to sit with their problems. You have to sit with situations where you don't seem to know how you're going to get out of it. You better just realize this is Sister Cole's what it is. And so if when you sit with your perplexities, you need to then begin to savor your possibilities.
Yeah.
I'm trying to move quickly because we're going to the wood grill after this. Savor your possibilities right there in verse number 2. The text says, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any.
Right.
Either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way.
Yeah.
See, you didn't get it when I read it the first time. You went right over your head. You weren't able to pay attention close enough to understand that there are possibilities that lie right there in verse number 2.
That's right.
Yeah, there it is, because in verse number 2, when we get to there, we come to understand that this is just a retaliation of the Amalekites. So if you go back to chapter number 27, you'll find out verse number 8 that David and his men had gone in, overtook them, and left nothing, no man standing. They killed everything breathing.
My God.
And came up out of there.
Yeah.
But right here, the Amalekites came, overtook the city, but they took the women and children captive.
Yeah.
They didn't kill them.
That's right.
They carried them out. And my brothers and sisters, as long as you still inhaling and exhaling, in other words, as long as you have oxygen, you have options.
Yeah.
As long as you got a heartbeat, you have hope.
Yeah.
As long as you got a pulse, you have possibilities. Glory to God. There is a possibility that it can work out. Somebody said late in the midnight hour, God's going to turn it around.
Yeah.
He'll work it in your favor. Yeah. If you got breath in your body,
yeah.
Yeah, you got another chance. Glory to God. There is a possibility for your rescue. Y'all know y'all can shout all day long on your past. Whew, we just shout on our past, but you need to learn how to shout on your future.
My Lord, yes.
For it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither had it entered into the heart of men, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Look, y'all, we need a passion for possibilities. We need to look for the possibility in our impossibilities. We got to keep looking up, trusting that God will bring us out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Verse 3, that's where I am. Can I give it to you again?
Uh-huh.
It says there, So David and his men came to the city.
Yeah.
And behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives.
Yeah.
Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice,
uh-huh,
and wept until they had no more power to weep. Help us, Jesus.
Yeah.
And David's two wives were taken captive. Y'all see their names. And David was greatly distressed. He was messed up. For the people spake of stoning him.
Yeah.
Because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. his God.
Yeah.
Do y'all see what happened? They were going crazy. Everything going crazy around him. And David, the scripture says, David encouraged himself in the Lord. You know how somebody want to encourage. They're going to pat you on the back. They're going to give you a hug. They try to give you a good word. David hooked himself up. And he gave him, he said, I had to encourage myself not with what I know about me.
That's right.
Not with what I know about my bank account. Not with what I know about those supposed friends of mine. Not because I know who my family is. I encourage myself in the Lord, my God. He claims him for himself. How many of y'all know God, in God, all things are possible? Woo! So when you have a tough time, when you're in a tough spot, when you can't find your way out of your stuck situation, God is the possibility, not just a possibility. He is the answer for your situation. So you got to sit with your perplexities and savor your possibilities. But we got to see God's proclivities. Ooh. If you keep reading in the text, that's why the children say they don't understand me. If you keep reading in the text, because we stop too soon. Y'all know we stop reading too soon. You will discover that when you get to verse number 18, it reads, and David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. Uh-huh. Glory. While David was sitting with his perplexities, God was already at work. Look, although the facts had David in a pickle, I need to tell somebody that faith has nothing to do with seeing. Did y'all hear me what I said? Your faith has nothing to do with what you can see or the facts that have been presented to you right before your very eyes. The text says that David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. But in verse number 8, he has gotten himself in a place of worship and begins to talk to God. Verse number 8, it says, and David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this truth,
come on,
these clowns? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail, recover all. You see it in the text that David didn't mope around, lay around, cry around. He got himself encouraged and he went into worship. How do you know he went to worship, Reverend? Because the verse before that talked about he called for the ephod.
Yeah.
He had to get himself in position to worship his God. And as he began to talk to God, God began to talk back. If you talk to God, he will talk back to you. Begins to talk to God in his worship experience, and God begins to speak back to him. He said, look here, God, look here, look. You know them clowns out there really done acting a monkey fool. They have taken my wives, both of them. They've taken the folks' children, the sons and the daughters. Shall I go after them?
Yeah.
Will I be able to overtake them?
What do you say?
Woo! And God said, pursue. You better go.
Yeah.
Because I surely will give them over to you.
Yes.
You're going to overtake them. That's what he says. I'm going to give them to you. Mm. Who? Bless his name.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. He gets in worship and he talks to God and God talks back to him. And God says, you got this thing. You got this thing. He ain't got to encourage himself no more. All of a sudden, and when I look to the Lord, he gives me my strength. Woo! He gives me what I need to make it just a little while longer. So what I said, they don't understand perplexities. You know, I went to UVA. I have to use something that I learned. Sister Watson always called. When I get like that, she said, okay, come on, UVA. The situation is that this, the idea of us seeing God's proclivities. Proclivities, they're only one's tendency to do a certain thing regularly or habitually. That's all. They do the same thing all the time. That's what they do. You've got to begin to see God's proclivities. Thank you, Reverend. That's some good stuff right there. You got to be able to see his proclivities. So you need to be reminded about some stuff about God.
Yeah.
You know, you got to know God for yourself. Didn't I tell the children that? Because God helps recover. He will recover some stuff that somebody done took away from you.
Uh-huh.
Hear me? You got to understand the proclivities of God. You be sick, God has a tendency to heal. Yeah. You ain't got no money? Broke, busted, and disgusted. God has a tendency to provide.
Yeah.
Your enemies at you. Your enemy want to take you out left and right. God has a tendency to make them your footstool.
Yeah.
Glory
yeah.
to God. The closer you get to God, when you find yourself between the proverbial rock and hard place, you can relax in the proclivities of God. God will deliver you. Even when you think it's all over. Folks wondering, how can there be a sequel to I Am Legend? Because the last scene of the first movie, Dr. Robert dies.
Uh-huh.
That can be perplexing to most. However, it was one Friday that there was a final scene and another man died.
Yes.
Can we go to Calvary for just a moment? There hung Jesus between two thieves with nails in both his hands and his feet. A plaited crown of thorns have been pressed down in his skull. He's there dying for you, and he's dying for me. Dying on an old rugged cross. There he dies so much that the sun stops shining. So much the moon says, I can't take no more. It drifts away in blood. The stars lose their stick to sky business. They fall from their starry sockets. And there they are. There Jesus dies. I hear him say, your job at the end of the night is to get home.
Uh-huh.
But Jesus dies.
Mm-hmm.
They think that they have it. That he's not going to make it home. But what I come to understand, that at the end of the night, on the third day morning, that the Father raised him up with all power in heaven and earth in his hand.
Yeah.
But look at him. He says, hey, this power that I have,
uh-huh.
I want to give it to everyone that would believe. Yeah, the same power. He wants to give you the same power that belongs to him.
Yeah.
And he's now home.
Yes.
With the Father.
Mm-hmm.
He's seated at his right hand.
Mm-hmm.
Up there praying for you because you won't do right.
My God, my God.
And he's already died for your wrongdoing.
Yes.
He's up there talking to the Father saying, I already died for that sin.
Yes. Yes.
I've already died for that thought. Already died for that behavior. He's covering you even when you don't want to be covered.
My God.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's like a little child who a mother has put the cover over them, but in their sleep they kicked it off.
Uh-huh.
Jesus. Some of us are in that kind of position. You children of God have been covered, but you're rejecting your covering. But he doesn't leave you alone. Puts it back over you again.
one day you will hold on to it. Embrace your covering in your tight spaces. When you find yourself between a rock and a hard place, allow yourself to be covered by Jesus himself. He will do the impossible for you. He's the God of the impossible to make your impossible possible.
Yeah.
Just for you. That's the kind of God we serve. And if you in here today and you between a rock and a hard place, Jesus, that's your answer. If your back is up against the wall, Jesus is your answer. If you don't know which way to go, which way to turn, how to go in or how to go out, Jesus is your answer. Y'all say, well, that sounds good now, preacher. But you better try it for yourself. Don't listen to me talk if you don't think I'm talking good. All I'm saying is when you find out I've been talking good, you ought to give God some glory.
Amen.
Because you got it for yourself. Back been up against the wall, and sometimes I didn't realize the cover was right there. And all I had to do was just pull it on. Y'all know what I'm talking. You accidentally found it. You got cold, and all of a sudden that was the shawl, that was the spread, that was the thing that was, I don't know what you call the thing on the couch. The throw. You pulled the throw. It was right there. That's Jesus. He is there all the time. And he's waiting for you to pull him in. Would you take him in for yourself today? Would you own him just for you? He's there, even for you. Amen.